Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hello and good morning, folks. This is Speak Up at CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm your host for today, Pranjali. And before I go ahead and introduce my topic and discuss a few things about the issue at hand, I would definitely like to just reflect back for a minute about the show which was airing just before me. And they talked about the importance of making and mobilizing knowledge, the Indigenous knowledge, and how it needs to be centered for the post-secondary institutions. And I just want to say thank you so much for that show. I think it's a very important discussion, and I really hope that I can come off as an ally and really hope something and help in some way. Saying that, I would also like to acknowledge the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Kwantlen, Ketse, Samiamum, and the Squamish people. Unceded means that this land was never surrendered, relinquished, or handed over in any way. I recognize that these unceded lands occupied include not only the SFU's Burnaby campus, but also extends back to the land that is occupied by the Vancouver and Surrey campuses. And that's the place where I conduct my research. That's where I study and volunteer at. So I just wanted to acknowledge the lands that have been there for us to work and essentially use. And as I go into the topic for today, which is, I know it's a very interesting topic because I have been looking into it as a student myself, coming from that region. I think I have somewhat of an understanding. That's why I'm going to share about the dispute of South China Sea. Many of you already might know what that is, but through this episode, I would like to break down what the dispute is all about, why it's happening, how important it is for international political landscape as to what's happening right now with the U.S. Hosting the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and all the pomp and show that is happening around it. It's somewhat related to the mounting quote-unquote threat of China in the South China Sea dispute, basically. And before I go into and delve into what that dispute is and why it even exists and all those things, I just was looking through some of the news for today, and I found that Toronto has elected its mayor. So we have a mayor for Toronto, which is Olivia Chow, who was a former NDP MP. And we also got a statement from, because obviously Ontario is like 3 hours ahead of us, so they're already doing their thing. Ontario's Premier Doug Ford said this morning that he would try and foster a good relationship with the newly elected mayor of the city. So for people who don't know, these guys have very good chemistry. So it's going to be interesting how things change and what happens for the politics in Ontario, with Toronto being one of its most populated and most important city. So yeah, that's up for discussions. And I'm sure the show that's coming after this and other shows at CJSF and other media outlets will be covering this news in detail. And yeah, let's get back to the topic at hand, which is the South China Sea dispute. Why do we call it a dispute? Well, because China has actually made some claims about some of the water areas in the sea. So that includes having the islands over there, the untapped oil and natural gas resources in the region. But the problem arises in the sense that that place already has claims, existing claims from other countries, which includes Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Taiwan to some sense, and obviously China. So the four main actors in this dispute are Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, and the Republic of China. So this dispute is also including one of the most important islands, which is the Spratly Islands. And these islands actually have a very strategic importance, especially in terms of international trade, because it is a point. If you look at the world's map of the region here, this sea and this island, which is Spratly Islands, serve as a corridor for the link between Eastern Asia and obviously there is India. So this is like a link between Asia, the Pacific Ocean. We also have towards the other side, obviously we have United States, but right below the sea, if you look geographically, if you have Australia. So there's a whole lot of countries of economic importance. This has very rich resources, including natural oil, fishing areas. So this is a dispute regarding who has the rights to use this sea, basically, is the dispute about. So China has put forth some claims under the international law of the sea, which is called the UNCLOS, so under the UN Convention of Law of the Sea. I think that's the full form. According to this convention, or according to this framework, each country has certain access to, so from its border to a certain point, there is exclusive right of a country to use its water for whatever reasons or whatever purposes they want to. So, for example, some islands in the Philippines have access to do fishing in the international sea up to a certain miles. Okay, so that would be called its exclusive economic zone, EEZ. And accordingly, different countries have different zones which they are entitled to use for their own economic trade and all those purposes. But China, which is, if you look at the map, a little farther away from what we conventionally call the Spratly Islands and the sea there. But because of changes in the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea in the recent years, the number of miles has been increased. So supposedly, China is creating some quote-unquote fake islands to profess that that is its land, and so that should be the mark of its economic zone. So it is all about having that convention and having that freedom of navigation through those exclusive economic zones in the sea. That can also include having military activities in that area. So that is the main background of the story. So that's what is happening. So this is all because sort of each country has a different understanding, or quote-unquote supposed understanding, of what the convention or what the law of the sea is and which country has access to how much of the waters in the South China Sea. So that's the dispute about. Philippines has been, because for one of my projects at the university I'm working, at the case of Philippines. So I've been looking into the history of the claims of Philippines on these areas. Why are they doing all these things? What are they hoping to gain? what is sort of the historical background of this? So essentially, if you go back to the era of creation of the, I don't know if you guys would know, but like, let's break that down as well. So ASEAN is a group of countries which has come together. So for example, there is NATO, right? So this is like an international organization that has Southeast Asian countries, and its full form is Association of Southeast Asian Nations. So these nations come together as if it were like UN of some sort. They come together to understand and to quote unquote maintain peace and stability, promote regional peace, accelerate economic growth, protect the national sovereignty of the states involved. And that's what's essentially the ASEAN is. It has many different guidelines and its functions, but that's the sort of main goal, which is like having economic growth and maintaining peace and stability in the region. So that is a very important international organization in terms of dealing with the conflict, because essentially when China, a rising power, comes into the picture of any dispute, because itself it is a nuclear power and is a rising power. So inherently, if China is involved in any of the issues, it becomes an international issue. And also there is a wide range of countries, like I said before, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Philippines specifically, who are directly involved in this dispute about claims of the water and the islands, the Spratly Islands. So this becomes an important international issue, especially if you are interested in understanding how the sovereignty of international waters is done. I think it's a very important issue for sure that's happening right now. And as I was saying at the very, very beginning, is that the Indian Prime Minister visiting US at this point in time is a very interesting thing, because with the G7 meeting and things happening around that, and there is also a organization called I Do You Do, which was created, which included so just to break it down in a very crude and layman or like very easy understandable language, is that wherever there is China who is exerting its force in an international dispute, there would be an attempt to counter balance its influence or its presence, and for that mostly it's India which is used as a counterbalance, because the China and India rivalry goes back to a long time, and I think it should have like a 1 hour block of its own. But no, we'll just focus on the South China Sea and the creation of ASEAN today. In terms of the role of ASEAN in this dispute, is that it is an organization which is meant to maintain peace and stability in the region. And with the South China dispute existing, there is a bigger function that the governing or the running people of this network should look at, and they are looking at. So there are different resolutions that are being worked through as to see what peaceful discussion all the countries can come to, what sort of claims can be handled, and what can be done. And before I deal more into the different functions of ASEAN and what they're proposing, and I think one more thing that needs to be contextualized in the South China dispute is that why is even China there in the dispute, when inherently this is not an issue China should be concerned of, because its maritime limits, so the EEZ, so Exclusive Economic Zone, the Spratly Islands lie outside of it. So why does China even care about it? Well, because there is so much oil, there is so much natural gas, it has rich flora and fauna, fishing is a big thing in China as well. Its industries are important, and there is a strategic importance of the location of this dispute. So we'll get more into this, but I will play one short song, which is called Trouble, since we're talking about dispute today. So it is on the album called Yesterday Is Gone, and I know I have played so many songs from the artist, but I just like her so much. Dana Gowanski is a Canadian singer and songwriter, and this is the song on her album from 2020. So let's listen to her and we'll get back to this issue. Yeah. Sorry about that. I just went ahead of myself.
Name.
You were listening to Trouble by the artist Dara Gwinski, and you're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM. And for today, I am your host, Pranjali, trying to unpack some big things here because I think these are the issues and topics that have taken so much importance in the international landscape that many scholars, politicians, diplomats have spent their lives trying to understand what is the best way to go about it and what is happening, giving recommendations. So what I'm doing here today instead is trying to break apart, sort of, in some sense, those recommendations by starting to think about what is even South China dispute? What is its relevance? What is happening? Why it's happening? The background, essentially. And the role of ASEAN, a international network of inter-regional countries in the Southeast Asia. What is the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea? What are economic exclusive economic zones? So that's what we are trying to unpack and understand. I know it's a little heavy topic, but I thought since I'm working on this for one of my classes, why not try to unpack? And because I think when we talk about an issue, we open the avenues to discuss about it, and knowledge is created by co-creating it, essentially. So knowledge is not just like a one-way tool of learning. It should be like a two-way thing. So yeah, that's why I just don't learn. I also try to give it back in some sense, you know. So yeah, I'm trying to sum up like a Wikipedia page of some sort. I'm trying to unpack what I just discussed before, the wonderful song. So I was talking about the territorial dispute in the South China Sea, which included having conflicts around some islands and some maritime claims. So maritime is essentially like the water body. So like what sort of extent of water is or belongs to a country. So that's the maritime claims in the region of the Southeast Asia, which includes the main actors of People's Republic of China, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines. Some say Vietnam used to be involved in this. Yes, it was involved until very recently, but I think there have been some developments with that. So the dispute essentially involves the claims about the sea area. So what kind of functions you can use or you can undergo in the international waters. So it also involves the claims around some islands, reefs, some of the banks, which includes, most importantly, the Spratly Islands. That's a very, very important island because of its strategic importance, but also because it has a very rich resource base. There are also some other islands which are of importance in this issue. One of them is the Paracel Islands, the Scarborough Stoll, and the Gulf of Tonkin. And these islands are very important because there have been confirmed reports and recent developments as to what is happening both in terms of tension between China and the other claimant countries in this region. So China has been conducting some sort of military activity in the South China Sea, which included having naval maneuvers and exercises. I can confirm it was a case in 2018. This was all happening in the time when China also continued to construct a military and industrial outpost on the artificial islands it has created in those disputed waters. So, as I was saying before the song break, is that Each country has an access to exclusive economic zone up to some nautical miles of its border, essentially. So what China has been attempting at is having to build some islands, which are artificially created islands, and it has been confirmed by some internationally recognized organizations. But yeah, speculations happen all the time in conflicts like these, which includes big players like China for sure. But these artificial islands, what they allow for China to do is increase its border in some sense. So for example, if we were to say that, let's say, for example, this is just an example, very crude example, but it's an example. So for example, if we were to say that BC's, let's not take that example. I think what I'm trying to make a point about here is that by creating those artificial fake islands, China is trying to extend its border, its country's border, beyond what it actually exists. So it's creating those fake artificial islands so that it can have the access to longer economic zones, and for that it would mean that it can conduct its military operations in those seas freely. It can conduct the exploration and exploitation of the natural reserves of oil and other resources in there without any problem. So that's the sort of the recent developments, that China is creating artificial islands in the region. Interestingly, obviously, as I've been talking about China, well, it's common sense that the United States would also have a thing in the issue, right? Because it's such a globalized world. This is an international issue. So the United States has also stepped up its military activities and naval presence in the region in the recent years, including having the freedom of navigation operations in the early time of 2018. And obviously Donald Trump was the president during the time. So he himself emphasized the importance of such operations and ensuring free and open access to the South China Sea. So that's what is happening with the recent developments in the sense of 2018. But more so in the terms of understanding what is happening with the quote-unquote entry of the United States, the issue is that it has become an international problem. And when two big countries come to a specific area and it's about claims about territory, I think it's very important to look into it from not only the sense of governments and organizations, but also from the sense of the people who are living on those lands, and for the people who are working, who are conducting their daily activities, like, you know, fishing, rowing in those areas. How does it affect those people, essentially, is the question that we should definitely look at. And the presence of the United States does not come just out of the blue. It's just not a random thing that's happening. It is a very strategic move. Also, for the people who might be unversed about the military cooperation or military treaty that exists